This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Many thanks to Kelly Gramlich, who joined us in hour number one. Get you up to speed with the 44th annual ACC Women's Basketball Tournament, which continues in Greensboro. But right now, we go to Central New York, where the head coach of the Syracuse Orange, Jim Boeheim, has the weekend off. But you know what? It's been a really, really good week because the Orange took care of business where they had to against North Carolina on Monday and the Clemson Tigers on Wednesday. Coach, good morning. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm really good. Obviously, you win those games, you're good. But the interesting thing I've finally figured out with us going 13-1 at home and probably should have been 14 is that the home, when you're home, you get that advantage of being home and the baskets and you're used to everything. But what the difference is this year, to me, the visiting teams haven't got that enthusiasm, that rush off the crowd. You know, the crowd helps both teams, I think. And that for some reason, the visiting teams, I mean, we're talking good teams that play hard, that are well coached, they haven't had that juice that you see from the fans. And I mean, our players miss it too, but I think the advantage of being home is that we're home, you know, that comfort. And it's I was surprised. I thought the home advantage wouldn't be as much this year, but I think it ended up being as much because of the lack of noise, I think, hurt the visiting teams from getting excited about the game.
Coach, do you like this last weekend? I mean, I know the schedule's the schedule, but is there some benefit to having this weekend off here? I mean, you got some nice momentum built. Yeah. I guess it's a two-way street.
Well, no, I think Kadari Richmond is hurt. His knee was bad. He probably shouldn't have played against Clemson. He pushed through it and actually played well. Quincy Guerrier's hurt. His knee is hurt. And Marek Doge fractured his little finger. So, yeah, we've got three starters, three of our first six guys that are hurting. So this will actually help us to get there. I mean, we played three games in 5 days, so we're certainly pretty sharp. And even though there's a little layoff, I think this is, in this case, this is a good layoff. If we'd only played one game in the last 5 days and had another 5-6 days off, then maybe not. But the interesting thing as I look ahead is our league is obviously not getting respect, mainly and only, I think, because we have no top 10 teams this year. We usually do have one or two. But the difference is our 1 through 10 teams are all good. They all can win, whether it's Duke or NC State or us at the bottom. But, you know, I mean, obviously Virginia Tech, Clemson, those teams, Louisville, all the other teams up top, Virginia, obviously, we all can win. We all can win games against anybody. And the bottom part of the league just turned out weaker than probably expected. But the top 10 teams, I think we can play with anybody in the country. But the respect isn't there as much because we don't have top 10 teams.
Coach, there's all... Coach, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I always find it interesting. I know you're looking forward because you need to because the ACC tournament and the postseason's ahead. But you can reflect a little bit now of this crazy regular season with what everybody's gone through. I'm just curious. I go back to your game against Notre Dame at home a couple weeks ago, or maybe a week ago. And you're down 20 with about 15 minutes to go at home. You got no fans there, obviously. And you're talking about how the visitors sometimes don't have that energy. And I was watching that game going, man, it just kind of felt like at that moment, hey, Syracuse, you've got to figure this thing out or else. So I want you to take me back to down 20 with, I don't know, 16, 17 minutes to go in the game.
Yeah.
And did you get a sense that, hey, guys, we got
to
go?
We're down 20, and we say, as we work on our press every day, it's not great, but, it's okay. So we go then, okay, we're going to press. Notre Dame's a good ball handling team, veteran team. We're going to lose by 30 probably now is really what my thought was. And we got three or four steals and turnovers immediately. And it's an 8-point game within about 3 minutes. So really 12 minutes to go, you're 8 points down is nothing. And it was just the press. And then we got a couple more plays out of the press, but then we just kind of played half court. And, you know, it was actually, I think, I forgot exactly, I think what it was at 50-22, or I think that was the end of the game, 50-22, because we won by 8. Mm. So, yeah, I mean, that we're done. Our season is over if we lose that game, unless we had to win the ACC tournament. But as it stands now, I think, the problem we have three wins that are called quadrant two wins, but they're high quadrant two wins. There's a lot of difference between beating a 34 or 40 team than a 56 team. And they're both quadrant two wins, but like Clemson and Virginia Tech and North Carolina are pretty good quadrant two wins. So I think quadrant, you know, 2, 4, and 1, quadrant 3, we're 7-1. We're 11-2. In quadrant two and three wins, which is pretty good. Our problem is we have one quadrant one win, but there's a lot of teams that don't have a lot of quadrant one or have quadrant one wins, but have three or four losses in quadrant three. So how the committee looks at that will be, you know, we'll see what they think. But we're just going to try to, you know, loop here and come to the tournament and play good basketball. I mean, that's the bottom line. I think we have 10 teams that could get in, but the way the talk has been, it's that would be unusual. But I think we have teams, those 10 teams are certainly, North Carolina State has resurrected themselves, and Duke is still a really good basketball team. I don't care what their record is. I think sometimes you have to look and say that team could be a good tournament team. I think like the Big Ten is good, but you see teams getting beat by 30 in the Big Ten that are still on the tournament bubble. That's, to me, I don't understand that. I think if you lose by 6 or 4 to a good team, that's okay. But when you lose by 20 or 30, I don't see that. But you know, I look at it more as like what team looks like they could win in the NCAA. And we've had some teams in the past that did sneak in, but we went to the Sweet 16 or Final Four. So I think certain teams out there, you look at them and you can say that team could do something in the tournament. And I think we have a lot of teams in our league that could do that. We could get beat, too. That's the nature of the tournament. Yeah. But as I look around the country, I'm impressed when I see Gonzaga and Baylor. West Virginia has really come on and really has been impressive to me lately. And obviously the Big Ten, the top teams there, Michigan and Iowa, are very strong. Illinois is very strong. I think there's 7 or 8 teams in the country that, you know, that do stand out. But the rest is they all look similar, and I think the committee has the most difficult job it's ever had this year. But as I look back on the season, I remember a lot of people saying, you know, we can't play this season, we can't get these games in.
Right.
The Ivy League has the smartest people in the world, supposedly, and I have a special feeling against them because my son was a senior and they had 5 seniors at Cornell that didn't get to play this year. And it's ridiculous because kids are in school, and the safest place is to be on a team where you're getting tested 3 times a week, and if you get sick, every guy in college basketball that got sick is back playing and is healthy. So for us to get through this from where we started, I think has been one of the most amazing things that I've seen in college basketball. Remember that when people said we can't play games?
Yeah. I remember Coach, I remember we talked to you last summer, and there was some concern about what we would try and do with this. And I think it's a great credit to the student athletes themselves. I think it's a great credit to coaches who've obviously provided the leadership, but also to your administrations and your health workers and the people tied to these schools from a medical perspective, because they're the ones that when a positive comes up or contact tracing or things like that, give you a path to return. And you're right. I mean, college basketball, it's not been a clean slate, but it's been fairly bumpy at times. And yet we're on the verge of getting into postseason here.
Yeah, I think it's been great. And I think the colleges, I know our president pushed this. He's the president of the league, presidents, I guess that's what they call it, the leader of the council. And we've had all of our students here just about the whole year. And the students on campus, it's like in high school. The students in high schools, the students on campus test at way lower rate than the population. Way lower.
Yeah.
So where's the best place for these kids? In school. You know, my daughter's in college. She's on campus. My son's on campus here. And they're better. They're better off. They have it's safer for them.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you a question about Buddy. And we've had him on the show a couple times. He's been delightful. We really enjoyed our visits. But he told us, Pac, I want to make sure I get this right, about these full court pickup games that he has at the house in the gym. And then he said some of the stakes involved in the pickup games involve the loser coming in and taking the remote control that you're watching a game and turning the TV off. Now, do you realize you're at the back end of the consequence in these pickup games, Coach?
I figured it out early when they started doing crazy. It was crazier things than that. So, he was about 15, I think, at the time. And, you know, he's a nice kid. He's not like his father. He's like his mother. You know, my number one son is like me. So, you know, he's a little grumpier. But, Buddy's just, you know, the last child, I guess, in the family. And he, because his twin sister's a few minutes older, so she tries to dominate him too. But he's the nice kid in the family, and he's had a really good year. He's gotten better every year. We had a complete day off yesterday, and I went over to do some stuff over there, and he's in the gym, you know, working out, and he just won't stop. He works out after games, and he'll be downstairs at, you know, midnight shooting, and he doesn't do it for like a half hour. He'll go down after a game and shoot for 2 hours. You know, he just wants to be good, and he's had a great year. I'm proud of him. But as you said, we've got to just take our hats off to these players who wanted to do it, and they wouldn't have done it any other way because they didn't want to just sit home. But to just not really kind of quarantine themselves on campus, and just stay away from stuff has been amazing what they've been able to do and to get through this year. And the players deserve an untold amount of credit for this.
Totally agree. Coach, before we let you go, I know that head coaches pay attention to every little detail. And as you pointed out, hey, you've been doing this for 45 years. You know what you're doing. I know this, that next week when you get to Greensboro, the last time I saw your team play in Greensboro, that might have been the best. That might have been the best I've seen Syracuse play in a long, long time. Do we know where we're staying? We're going to have the same breakfast? Are we doing the same routine? Because that whatever you found last year in Greensboro, my man, it was only there for a day or so, but it worked.
You know, we had played pretty well on the road last year. We'd won 6 road games, which is unusual for a team that's kind of in the middle. We didn't play well at home. We went down there and we played well on the road, but not like that. And as North Carolina just beat us by 14 or 15 points at home a week before. So, we just, it came together. That happens sometimes, and, you know, in a season, those things do happen. But we certainly would like to find some of that next week for sure.
No kidding. That was tremendous.
All right. Well, Syracuse Hall of Fame head coach Jim Boeheim. Thanks, Coach. Appreciate the time as always.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham on a Friday. Many thanks to Jim Boeheim, who just joined us. Got the weekend off, put his feet up, do a little golf, watch some basketball, get ready for Greensboro.
Maybe so. Yeah, he'll watch a lot of basketball. He sees everything. That guy watches a lot of games, man. Coach, you mean, you just heard the interview. I mean, we talk about one or two games, and next thing you know, he's strung three or four other schools together in it. I got a feeling about our next guest here. You ready? We're going to play the hunch game a little bit on this, right?
Go ahead.
First of all, Cam Hayes joins us from NC State, freshman guard, coming off career high the other night at Notre Dame, who is a native of Greensboro. So I'm going to have a hunch here, Pack, that Cam Hayes, did you go to the ACC tournament as a kid when you were living in Greensboro? Oh, yes. Did you have a chance to go to the end of the tournament games?
Yes, I won a lot. Like in elementary school, they used to give out tickets to us. So I've definitely been to the ACC tournament in Greensboro a lot of times.
All right. So give me the first memory you have or your favorite memory of the ACC basketball tournament in Greensboro.
Just growing up, being a little kid and like going to watch like Carolina play somebody. It just brings like a lot of like joy being able to go and watch people in college, you know, especially Carolina. It was a really big school to me when I was little, but just going there and watching like and being in that atmosphere, it was really big for me.
Cam, let's be honest. The best part about it was when the elementary school gave you tickets. You got it. You had every right not to have to be in school and tell folks why you weren't in school. That's really the most important. I mean, forget about what it was, State, Carolina, Duke, Wake. And that was secondary. What was really important is no school today, boys. We're going to go watch hoops, right? That's the way it works in the state of North Carolina. It's a state holiday when the ACC tournament gets cranked up. Hey, as far as your team, though, what has gotten into the Wolfpack? I mean, Devin Daniels goes down. You're figuring, man, State's in trouble. You guys get a lot of credit for going, hey, let's roll up our sleeves and get to work. Everybody has stepped up since Devin's injury. I know that had to be a force in the locker room, you guys talking, going, hey, guys, we're not going to quit on this season because you've proven it.
Oh, yeah. When Devin went down for us, he texted us after and was like, it's going to be the next man up. And we got it. And for all of us to, like, stay focused and stay confident. So I just feel like our confidence has increased since, like, going down and being on this five-game win streak. We've been more confident. We've been more locked in as a team. And I just feel like everything is falling apart at the right time. We're coming into March, and we're playing really good basketball right now.
Cam, has there been a turning point with it, or is it just one of the things that – that happened as this team has evolved after the injury?
I feel like it was just a turning point. You know, everybody was like, when Devin went down, everybody had their doubts and stuff. But we know it was going to go through like a time where we had to find our new identity since Devin was, you know, the leader for us. And Devin went down. Then Thomas went down to another guard for us. So since that happened, everybody felt like we had to step up and just be more better and be more confident in one another. And now it's just proven that, you know, we can still like have a chance to make a long run the rest of the season in an ACC tournament.
Cam, in some sense, did it also take pressure off of you guys? Because, you know, hey, every night you want to go out and perform. There's always that pressure. But when you take a Devin Daniels off the team that's averaging 17 a game, I mean, really the expectation level for everybody outside of your locker room was, well, you know, State's got their leading scorer banged up and, you know, it's going to be a tough ride. Did it kind of alleviate the pressure on the team to go, hey, guys, let's just go have fun and play basketball? And whatever it is, it is. And if we get on a hot streak, man, so be it. But did it take the pressure off?
I wouldn't say it was any pressure, honestly. I just felt like we were tired of losing and stuff. We just wanted to go on a win streak and do it for ourselves and as well as Devin, since, you know, Devin, his senior season was cut short, so I felt like we didn't have any pressure. Just at the end of the day, we're just going out there and playing basketball, the sport we love, and everything is just clicking for us right now.
Well, I tell you, the other thing that helps, too, build momentum is road wins. You got another one the other night at Notre Dame. Got one at Pittsburgh as well. Wake Forest along the way. Cam, what's the value of that road win mean now going to the tournament next week?
It means a lot. It brings a lot of confidence to us knowing that we can go away from home and be able to win games. It's kind of tough, you know, winning on the road in the ACC is a tough, you know, it's a tough division to be in, but being able to get those road wins and have that build our confidence, it means a lot to us. So I just feel like, and I like winning on the road because, you know, Coach Keats, he's big on that ice cream. So road games.
Now,
is really
wait a second.
For us.
Wait. All right. Now, hang on. There is a story that I've been. Now, Jericho Helms was on this show. Now, Pac, you want to tell Cam what Jericho said to us about he's not an ice cream guy. He's a brownie guy or something, right?
Yeah, he says everybody on the team calls him weirdo because he doesn't like ice cream. He wants the brownie instead. So, you know, hey, to each their own, man. All I know is after I went on the road and Wes listed a bunch of them, the most important one I thought was Virginia when you guys went up here and beat the Bulldogs up here in Charlottesville. But, hey, a win's a win, man. Sweets are sweets. I don't care what it is. It's all good.
Now, Cam, I've been told, I have sources that tell me that the ice cream's not good enough for you, that you want a milkshake, and Keats won't let you have one?
Yeah, Coach Keats said I can't get a milkshake until I become a sophomore. You know, I'm kind of a newbie around here, so I don't got any privilege right now.
You had 20 the other night. You helped them get the win. You helped them get the win, and Keats won't even let you get the milk. He won't even let you get what you want?
Nah, it's okay though. You know, it's Coach Keith, so I was really tripping.
Hey, Cam, let me give you a bit of advice here. You can take it for whatever it's worth. I would go to Coach, and he's probably watching.
Yeah.
But I'd go to Coach and say, you know what, Coach? You're right. You know, I don't deserve a milkshake until I'm a sophomore. So let's negotiate what it's going to look like when I'm a junior and a senior. That's what I'd do. I'd say, you know what? You're going to get me now for not just getting ice cream, and you won't let me get that milkshake. I'm with you, Coach. I get where you're coming from. So I'll agree to your rules, and I'm going milkshake as a sophomore. But let's talk about that junior and senior year, because, my man, you're talking about banana splits. I'd go big time, junior and senior.
You're trying to go big.
I'm talking big or go home. Yeah. That's what I'm talking, Cam. You got leverage right now.
Not swinging by. Hey. We're not going to swing by the sheets when you're a junior and a senior, Cam. Uh-huh. You're going to go to, like, you know, the real place and get it done.
That's it.
Go to Coldstone or something.
That's what I'm talking about. No question about that.
By the way, Cam, he just texted me. He's definitely watching. So if you want to go ahead and pronounce that you're negotiating, I would say let's go for it.
I ain't going to say nothing because he's definitely going to bring it up when we have practice today.
You know what he's going to do? I'm going to run you like you just had a milkshake. That's what he's going to do. You know that's happening. That's how that game's going to be played. All right, so you don't play. The one thing, if you're an NC State fan, player, coach, team's on a run. Five straight, taking care of business at home and on the road. But now you don't have a game this weekend. It's probably like, man, come on. Next man up, let's go. I know you'd love to be playing this weekend in some shape, way, or form.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely one of the players. And it was our senior night for our seniors, so they didn't get the opportunity to have, like, a farewell tour. So, and I felt like we needed that Virginia Tech game. We're coming off a lot of confidence. You know, we're on a roll right now. So we really was planning on playing Saturday.
Well, you guys, I tell you what, you and Shaq Moore have really added to NC State, and boy, they need you with the injury to Devin Daniels. It's really been a collaborative effort. Been fun to watch too, because, you know, as Pac said, there were questions about, you know, kind of how this would go. And to you guys' credit, what have you learned during the course of this year, Cam, just about making that move? I mean, you played for a very successful high school program at Greensboro Day, but now making this move, what's been the biggest takeaway for you so far?
Just being patient and trusting the process. You know, when you come in as a freshman, you got all these expectations and stuff. And then when it doesn't go your way, a lot of people, like, get down. Like me, myself, I kind of got down on myself throughout the year. But just being able to build that confidence back and just staying the course and staying focused and relying on, like, my teammates and coaches to lift me and motivate me on a daily basis. So that's it.
All right, I'm going to put you on the spot. 2 points here. Number one, it doesn't really matter how you answer. It's not going to affect anything. Who's going to win the Duke-North Carolina game tomorrow?
I don't want to get no answer. I'm going to just watch the game. Whoever wins, whoever wins.
Cam, you're a smart guy, my man. And here's the other two parts. When Coach gives you a hard time today or tomorrow about your milkshake answer, you tell him, hey, you know what? Packer and Durham will represent me in terms of name, image, and likeness and everything else. Once that bill is signed, that we're going to represent you in all your post-game victory celebrations, that we're going to take care of. We will handle the negotiations.
Cam, not say that.
I'll handle that.
Come on, Cam.
If West Ham want a part of it, I'll handle that for you. We're going to get what you need on that.
No.
All right, here we go. On a serious note, here's the question. We ask every single student-athlete this question on the show. Since you've been at NC State, what has been your hardest class?
Well, I'm taking a psychology class right now, and that's by far the hardest class I've been taking. It's something different to me, and it's a lot of work, and it's really different from high school. So psychology by far is the hardest class I'm taking right now.
I like it. Well, listen, man, keep up the good work. You guys have really been amazing coming down the stretch. And, you know, Georgia Tech's been on a run. You guys are on a run. Clemson's been playing some good basketball. As you well know, when we get to Greensboro, anything can happen. And the Wolfpack's right now on fire. So keep up the great work.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on the show.
You bet, Cam. First of many appearances, we hope. Cam Hayes of NC State with us on Packer and Durham. Great to have him. And, I keep saying this. I'm disappointed we don't get some games. And this is one I'd like to see. I would have liked to have seen NC State, Virginia Tech. Just the matchups. And we're going to get a game next week in the tournament. I don't know when. Maybe opening day, for all I know, that we haven't had. First 2 days, we're going to get games we haven't had. Isn't that going to be weird back?
Well, I mean, listen, we're going to get a game tomorrow we haven't had with Pitt and Clemson. They haven't seen each other all season
long. That's right, Pitt and Clemson.
But, you know, that game, I wanted to see it for two reasons. Number one, NC State's playing great. And number two, Virginia Tech wants to play. I mean, it's not like Virginia Tech's going, no, we're not interested. No, they want to play. They need to play. And this was going to be a really huge week for the Hokies, obviously. The Louisville game this week was going to be big for both, and a road trip to NC State to take on red-hot NC State. So, listen, you know, hopefully we'll get everybody whole and in one spot in Greensboro next week when the guys take over. And, of course, the ladies are doing a great job already with the 44th annual right now in Greensboro. So, late March, man, it's always good. Let's go. Ready. It's time to do it. March Madness is upon us.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
I enjoyed our interview there with Cam Hayes. He will be back.
Absolutely.
I get a sense that Cam Hayes, we're going to bring him back for milkshake season, sophomore year. Milkshake season.
Keats wants to have a word with you, by the way, about name,
Keats, Coach knows. You know, I get how he's playing these guys in terms of, hey, here's the incentive. You want a scoop of ice cream, you want a milkshake. Next year, you man up. All right. You know, two could play that game. Yeah, all right, that's cool. I'll go with the milkshake my sophomore year, but guess what I want with my junior year when I'm really balling? I'm all ACC balling.
All right.
Different story.
Are you ready for blind resumes?
All right, we will do our best. Yes, we will have no earthly idea, and there's no telling. This could be a complete total disaster, but we'll see how this goes.
We've been on a hot streak, though. We've been hot streaking it.
I'm not saying we're as hot as NC State or Georgia Tech. But we've had our moments. We've had our moments with blind resumes. As long as we're not doing who am I, that was, I had to get up and leave. Get some garden utensils in here.
Yeah, I know. I remember. Yes. This is different. This is, can you identify the ACC team with blind resumes? These have been sorted and crafted by our crack staff in Bristol. Here is number, we got two of them. Oh God.
Good grief.
All right. Team one is Coach Boeheim in Syracuse.
Well, hold on a second. Home losses is easy, right? One, that matches. February record, BPI is irrelevant. Q1 wins one. That would be their first the other night. I think you're right. I think team one is Syracuse.
Team two, I think, is Pittsburgh. Oh, Indiana. I thought it was another ACC team.
Well, we got the one that mattered. Yeah, we got the one that mattered.
All right. So Syracuse, the Indiana discussion, bless their heart. No.
They are the weirdest team in America is Indiana. That's the weirdest.
By a long shot.
They're weird from quarter to quarter, much less week to week. They're bizarre. I don't know what. They're poor fan base.
10-minute increments. Oh, Indiana gets weird. 10-minute increments.
This is no lie real quick. I know I'm going to go quick here, but they played Rutgers the other night, and they were up by 15. I literally took the dogs. I took the dogs out just here in the backyard, came back in 5 minutes, and they were down 8. And I went, wait a minute. Is this the same game? they are a weird bunch, man. I don't know how they do it in Bloomington.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, that's not our problem.
All right. Next.
Mm. All right, so the first thing I'm going to tell you is that Team 2 will be the ACC team because the boys, I don't think, will go back-to-back. Home loss is 3. 7-3. And maybe not.
Q2.
How about Virginia Tech? How about Virginia Tech being Team 2?
Just Virginia guessing. Tech?
I'm guessing here. I have no idea.
I'm
blind. Remember, it's blind resume.
All right, let's go. I'll go Virginia Tech. I'll go Virginia
Tech. I'm purely guessing.
Team 2.
Mm.
Oh! UConn.
Jackets, huh?
Wow. Jackets 9-2 against the Q2 and 3. That's what Coach Bayham was talking about.
Coach Bayham
6-3 in February.
Coach Bayham was bringing in Q4. I haven't heard a coach bring up a Q4 yet. That's the first time I heard a coach do that.
Jim Bayham, man's a Hall of Famer. Hall of Famer.
I am not Hall kidding of Famer. You. He is a detailed dude. He knows what's going on with that stuff. UConn, by the way, scary team. If UConn gets in the dance, they could cause a problem. Just saying.
Was Kemba Walker walking through that door?
No, he's not. But I tell you, I'm just telling you, they're getting their act together. Whether they can get to the dance, I don't know. We'll see. But the Jackets are rolling.
Let's go. Jackets now. Holy cow, Jackets.
Q2, 10-4. Who in the world's got 10 of those? Mm. Right, you got to figure it out. All right, let's guess Team 2 here. Let's see. Q1 wins 0. That eliminates an ACC team. Let's figure. Let's see. Team 1, Q1 win. Is that Louisville?
NC State on the left. Is NC State on the left?
Oh,
NC State
West
on the left.
That's a good call. The road wins tip you off on that one, Wes?
6-3 in February. 6-3. And the BPI neighborhood. I don't look at the BPI much, but
I don't.
The home losses in the February record, actually.
I believe
it or not.
If there's a BPI list, I can assure you I have never seen it.
Come on, let's give some love to BPI. All right, how many more we got left?
I've never seen
Drew
it.
Drew and Josh.
Never seen it.
Two more. All right. Here we go. Two more. Ooh, high BPI now.
High BPI. I mean, goodness gracious. Of course, you can't use common sense because, you know, it should be Florida State or Virginia if the BPI is 10 or 11. But that's BPI.
The ACC team is on the left, by the way.
Loss is 1. Is that North Carolina? They got 1 home loss, right? Marquette?
Yeah. Could be Carolina. Could be Carolina.
Wahoo, wahoo.
Ooh.
Hold on a second. February record, 5-3, right? They lost 3 straight. Q2, yeah. Q1, well, that's right. Yeah. Makes sense, except for the BPI part. But that's all right. Everything on there is accurate except BPI.
All right. Except BPI. BPI is always accurate, and BPI always wins.
Yeah. It sure does.
All right.
Fake left.
All right, last one.
Right.
Blind resumes. We have not been as proficient. We have gotten a couple of doubles and singles. Not a home run yet.
Home losses.
All right.
Goodness gracious.
5? Four and five in February, BPI 33.
Well, I think team one.
I got an idea.
Team one. Don't you think team one is the ACC? Yeah, because we don't. There are not many Q1 at four. There are not many in the ACC with four, if anybody. So it's got to be team one's got to be the ACC.
It is, and it's D U K E.
Yeah, a bunch of home losses. Yeah. There you go. I tell you what, that's an interesting comparison right there, because those are two teams on Lenardi's literally on the bubble, teetering either way. That's a really interesting comparison.
And Michigan
right
State
there.
Beat Duke.
Like a drum. Michigan that was State 100 beat Duke. Years ago.
Yeah.
By the way, so let me, can I look at that again real quick, or they can whisper in my ear. The BPI number for Michigan State was what? 69 for BPI for Michigan State.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
33 for Duke.
Yeah.
And with all those comparative numbers.
Has Lenardi
numbers,
seen that?
I know. I was just going to say, with all those comparative numbers, for that number to have that kind of discrepancy, especially when the Q1 wins, Michigan State's doubled that on Duke. That just goes to show you how hard the analytics are breaking all that stuff down.
There you go.
Good stuff.
Thanks again to everybody, Crack Research Group, cobbling the numbers and details together for blind resumes. Yes, sir.
Can I ask a trivia question? Since you guys love trivia and I hate it, I've got a trivia. I came across a trivia question. No, seriously, I'm dead serious with this, because you know I hate trivia. This is a bar bet. This is an ACC Network Packer and Durham bar bet for the weekend, all right? Without looking it up, there are three teams in the ACC, three, who are undefeated this year in quad three and quad four. All right, those are the two worst quads, right? There's only three teams in the league undefeated in quad three and quad four, without looking it up. There's your bar bet. You want me to give them to you? Do you want to guess? You tell me.
The Lumberjacks are saying Clemson and Virginia Tech are two of them. Is that right?
That is right.
Okay.
The third one is
NC State.
The Swiss.
Wake 'em up, Forrest, huh?
Wake Forest, Clemson, Virginia Tech are the only three ACC teams undefeated in quad three and quad four. Nobody would
tell
guess Wake Forest.
All right, and I'm going to say something here right now. From henceforth, every year we celebrate the anniversary of the start of the old Central Radio show, Mark Packer will offer you a trivia question. It'll be once a year deal.
Let me tell you something.
Once a year.
You're assuming we will be here March 5th, 2022. Yeah. I will have one for you if we're still alive and kicking.
Your annual, and we'll tell you what, we will have it billboarded, graphic, the whole bit for the annual Packer trivia question.
All right. So that's a good one, though, because nobody is guessing Wake Forest. Nobody would guess Wake Forest.
Yeah. Nobody.
So there you go.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham on a Friday. Chrissy, Meg, Lumberjacks, Hank in the back row.
All part of the
Ezzy and
big
Radio.
Anniversary show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Shout out to Shane and Sam, who joined us years and years ago.
That's it.
Getting this thing jump started.
All part of the big anniversary, the big Packer and Durham orientation origination date.
Yep. 3 years ago
so,
today.
So there you have it. Where's Greenberg? How come Greenberg hadn't been on the anniversary show yet?
Well, actually, this was kind of how it was 3 years ago. You were on a plane on a Delta flight and nowhere to be found. And Greenberg was doing SportsCenter hits, and I was on the island going, "Why are we doing this show?
I think if we can get people on the show, it'll be good."
How is
All
this
right.
going to work?
In case you missed Tyler Hansbrough with us yesterday, we got into a lot of interesting stuff, including his podcast, which is about some basketball, but something else you're going to want to hear about. But we started with yesterday being the anniversary of his collision with Gerald Henderson of Duke and what he remembers most.
Yeah, I remember, obviously shooting a free throw. And when I got my rebound off my own free throw, I'm not sure if I did a pump fake or what, but I remember going up and then just getting drilled. And I didn't see the defender or who it was. So when I went down, the hit initially didn't hurt as bad as it looked. But when I was on the ground, I checked my nose and I could tell I was bleeding real bad. And so I was pretty upset. So I got up and I think I was going to go after the wrong player. I'm not sure if DeMarcus Nelson was in there yet. So I thought he did it for some reason. And so I was ready to go after him. But looking back, I'm glad I didn't do that for multiple reasons. But yeah, looking back, Gerald got me pretty good on that one.
Yeah. Have you had a conversation with him about that moment? Have you ever had to talk about, hey, dude, what was the story there?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, all the time. Gerald admitted that, you know, emotions got the best of him. And, you know, we've all been there. But, yeah, for years throughout the NBA, every time we played against each other, I said I was going to get him back. And I never got him back. And I do regret that. But I know Gerald. We're over it. He's we're both highly competitive, but I still want to get him back one day. So
that's classic. Unbelievable.
Maybe we just get him back on the golf course or something like that. Is that the way it works out? Maybe just a tee ball on a $5 Nassau or something like that? Is that how it comes?
I don't know. Gerald's going to have to give me a lot of strokes. I heard he's pretty good. So, I'm willing to go there, okay, too.
Hey, Tyler, eye for an eye, right, man. Don't be playing all that nonsense with a buy for a barbecue. No. It's an eye for an eye with an invite like that, man. Ain't no way you're doing that deal, right?
I agree.
It has been a weird – I mean, listen, the whole year has been weird anyhow with COVID and everybody's gone through it. But to see both of these teams at times struggle to the point that you go, man, it doesn't even look like Duke. Man, it doesn't even look like North Carolina. Now we get this showdown again coming up on Saturday, and really Duke playing for their postseason lives. North Carolina's got a little bit better situation given the win a week ago against Florida State. But how weird is that as a former great seeing both shades of blue kind of going through really uncharacteristic seasons?
Yeah, it is unique. But the one thing, I think Carolina has progressively gotten a little bit better. And, you know, Duke has done the same. They lost one of their best players, and somehow they've continued to grow as a team and get better. But, yeah, it is unique. I think our team, UNC, I think UNC, you see players come in like, you know, Walker Kessler against Florida State kind of had a coming out game. And I think, you know, Carolina, they're young, and I knew it was going to be an up-and-down year. But I didn't know it was going to be this up and down. You know, you have some big wins. I think Florida State's arguably one of the best teams in the country. And, you know, the good thing about that win is we got down early, and then you saw them come back and win, which we haven't seen much from Carolina, much comeback wins or big-time wins against teams like that. But Duke has gotten better. And the unique thing about this rivalry is it doesn't matter what rankings are or how good the teams are. They're coming to compete during this game. And so I'm really excited. I'm always excited for this game. I don't care what the rankings say. I don't care how bad the teams are. You know, each team wants to win.
Just from your perspective, what have you seen in Kessler and what have you seen in Williams in terms of their development as freshmen? I think Sharp came in with an expectation, Baycott, Brooks, older kids. Duke doesn't really have an answer in the middle early in that first meeting. And I think that's part of Saturday night is Williams and Kessler and their roles in this game.
Yeah, I think Walker Kessler has a ton of potential. I think he could be one of the best bigs Coach Williams ever coached. He's got length. He's got, you know, he moves well for his size too, and he's got good touch. And I think for freshmen especially is sometimes it takes a little bit to get that feel, that game feel, and also get your confidence up. I mean, it's hard coming in there playing spot minutes, and then you throw COVID and being in quarantine, and then try to get that game rhythm is difficult. So I was really happy for Kessler to come out against Florida State and play like he did, because I think that's something that he's capable of doing, you know, on a nightly basis once he gets that feel and that confidence. But Williams for Duke, I haven't seen much of him play, but I watched a little bit of the Georgia Tech. Yeah, he's going to provide some rim protection, and he's a role threat down the middle, which they didn't have last time. And, you know, he's going to grab rebounds and get easy buckets, which is a huge deal.
Tyler, if you were playing, all right, for argument's sake, and Matthew Hurt is your headache for the night, how would you defend him?
I would contest his shot. I wouldn't give him anything easy. I don't think I move pretty good laterally, so I would have no problem getting up in him and guarding him, you know, aggressive.
In your heyday, who would have made the best bachelor on UNC's team?
Ooh.
Oh, no. Don't say Frazier. Do not say Frazier. Don't say Frazier.
No, it will not be Frazier. Frazier was not a ladies' man. He was not smooth. He had the moves of a school bus. let me see here.
Are you going to say Burke? Are you going to throw Dewey out there? You going to throw Dewey under the bus?
I'm going to go Marcus Ginyard would have been a great one. And I'm going to go maybe Wes Miller. I would have loved to see those two. That would have been would have made a great one. So, yes, Wes Miller.
You know what? I could see that question morphing into your podcast. That could be an all-timer for an all-ACC bachelor question right there.
I agree. I'm going to put a list together, and I'll put it up next podcast for you guys.
All right. That's fair enough. By the way, who would be the worst?
Hey,
who would be the worst bachelor of that group?
Probably Frazier, to be honest with you. Yeah, Frazier. No question.
I tell you what. Tyler Hansbrough is the co-host of the Sleep Hawk Worldwide podcast, available where you download podcasts. A little bit of basketball and a lot of The Bachelor. And I wish we could have taped the look on your face when he said what it was about yesterday.
I couldn't believe it. I mean, because I didn't know. I've not listened to I don't listen to podcasts. I just don't have time. And I'm thinking, well, Psycho T now, he's making this some serious basketball. I would have never
exactly
ever guessed The Bachelor would have been tied into that. So there you go. The rest is history.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.